Perek Lamed Beis. Earlier, the Prakim discussed about Sancheiriv, who was the king of Ashur, of Assyria, and how he conquered and he exiled the 10 tribes, and then he came through Yehuda, and he surrounded Yerushalayim, and the night of Pesach, his army was miraculously destroyed, and the tremendous nes of the night of Pesach. In this perek, we're going to learn about a little more about what type of a person Chizkiyoh was, that he was zoche to have this nes done for him. And the pasuk begins, Hein letzedek yimloch melech. Behold, the king will rule for the sake of righteousness. The reason why we have a king, the reason why he should take the position, is in order to bring tzedek, to bring righteousness. Ulasarim lemishpat yasoru. And the officers will govern for mishpat, for justice. It's not going to mention Chizkiyoh by name in these psukim that we're learning today. But most of the Mefarshim explain that it's referring to Chizkiyoh. Rashi says it's referring to Ochaz, the father of Chizkiyoh, that was not like this at all. Ochaz was a terrible Rasha. And the Navi's addressing itself to Ochaz, that a king is supposed to do what's right, and you're not doing it. But his son Chizkiyoh would be the one who would live up to this calling. But it's not mentioned by name. It's a general rule that applies to all kings. This is the purpose of a king. The Das Sofrim points out that this was said perhaps before Chizkiyoh, before his reign. According to Rashi, this was addressed to Ochaz. And a person has Bechira. Hashem is not guaranteeing that the king that will arise will be such a tzaddik. But this is the purpose of a king. Hein letzedek yimloch melech. A king should rule for the sake of righteousness. Ulasarim lemishpat yasoru, and the officers will govern for justice. There are rules of the land that the officers have to upkeep. The king has a certain amount of leeway. The king is able to punish somebody, even take beyond the actual law. The king has extra judicial powers, and he's able to also grant amnesty. The king is able to, he has a certain amount of leeway being the king. Sometimes the Gemara will say, we can know somebody's guilty, and Beis Din is not able to always act on it, but the king has the authority. L'sarim l'mishpat yasoru. The officers, the sarim, they govern with justice. They have mishpat. They have to follow the letter of the law. The king is expected to look at the country with tzedek, with righteousness, to try to make things, to use his extra authority, to go beyond the actual mishpat, but hein letzedek yimloch melech, to judge with a righteousness. The Malba makes that point. And this was in the zechus of Chizkiyoh, who lived up to this. We've mentioned previously, the Navi talked about it in earlier prokem, about the fact that Chizkiyoh strengthened Torah among the people. The Gemara says he stuck a sword by the Beis Medrash, and he said, whoever doesn't learn should be killed. In other words, everybody must learn, there's no exceptions. And the whole country was inspired, and they all were involved in learning Torah. There was nobody who was ignorant. But now we're going to see some other aspects of Chizkiyoh's reign. V'haya ish k'machavei ruach. Man will be this ish, this person we're talking about, will be k'machavei ruach, will be like a hideout from the wind. When there's a strong, blustery, windy day, a storm, and a person can find a shelter, this person will be k'machavei ruach. He'll be like a hideout from the wind. B'seisim yizorem. And if there's a downpour or a powerful stream of water, he'll be a seiser, a cover, a protection, where he can hide away. Kefal gimayim b'tzoyon, like pools of water, b'tzoyon. B'tzoyon is an area that's under the hot sun. There's a pasuk, tziyo v'gam chom yigzalu meimei sheleg, that the snow waters are dried out. They're stolen away by the tziyo, by the hot, dry land. But this king will be kefal gimayim, like pools of water b'tzoyon in the arid area. Kitzel sela koved, like the shade of a large rock. Beretz ayefa, in a land that's weary, that's dry. That's what this king will be like. The Malbim says there are actually four different elements here. There are four yesodos, four components that the world is composed of. There's fire, eish, ruach, the wind, mayim, water, and ofar, earth. It's broken down as everything is part of these components is what compose the world. And the king who's the tzaddik, even though he's a flesh and blood, he's a person like all of us, he's a person, but through his rulership, will be saved from whatever punishments and from whatever any difficulties that we could suffer as a result of these four yesodos, these four components. V'hoya ish kamacha v'ruach. There's the strong wind, but he'll be a hideout from the wind. And there could be a stream of water, but he'll be v'seser mizorim, a place to hide out, to be hidden from that stream of water. And when there's the feeling of the fire and the heat, kefal gimayim b'tzoyon, like pools of water in the area that's being baked under the sun. And as far as the dirt goes, kitzel sela koved, like the shade from a heavy rock, be'eretz ayefa, in a dry land. The Gemara in Chulin has a different discussion on a different pasuk in Mishle. There was a king in Yehuda, Yehoshaphat, who was a tremendous tzaddik. And at the same time, the king in the other part of Klal Yisrael, under the 10 Shvatim, was Achav. And Achav wanted to attack one of the enemies, and he gathered together, he met with Yehoshaphat, they had a meeting, and he wanted to persuade him that together they should have an alliance. All of Israel, all of Klal Yisrael together will go against the enemy. And it says that Achav shechted, many animals were shechted, and they ate a feast together. And then he persuaded him over dinner that they should go to war together against the enemy. And the Gemara discusses, Achav was a notorious Oved Avodah Zarah. He served idols, he spread idol worship. And how can we eat shechita, meat that's shechted by an idol worshipper? And that's what the Gemara discusses over there. The Gemara discusses maybe he shechted, but who said Yehoshaphat ate? And the Gemara says, well, Yehoshaphat, the pasuk says that he was persuaded, and that's usually done over food. If Achav just, slaughtered the meat and Yehoshaphat refused to partake, it wouldn't have built that common feeling that Yehoshaphat would agree to go to war. And the Gemara says, well, maybe Achav was a Rasha, but could be his servants were good. And the Gemara brings a pasuk from Mishle Perek Chavtes, Moshe Makshiv Al Devar Shoker. If you have a ruler that listens to lies, if the ruler is no good, Kol Mishorsav Rishoim, all of his servants will also be Rishoim. That the country and the servants and everybody takes their cue as to what's valued and what's important in life, they take it from the leader. They look up to their role model, the one who's governing the country, and they emulate the way he behaves. And if the king is somebody like Achav, we can assume, with a few notable exceptions, there was the Novi Ovadia was at that time, but there were... As a whole, the people can be assumed that if it's a melech, a moshel makshiv al devar shoker, if the king listens to lies, all of his servants are going to be reshoim and they're going to follow step. But Chizkiyo is the type of person who is ruling for righteousness. He's interested in helping and in bettering the country. And he protects them and he shields them from all types of suffering, whether it's the wind or the rain, in our allegorical sense. But he's whatever they would need and whatever they're lacking. Chizkiyo is there and he provides the nourishment and he sustains them and supports them. And once Chizkiyo comes around, people become more attuned to Ruchnius. It said earlier in Yeshaya Perek Vov, the Navi looked at the situation of the country at that time. And people were not involved in serving Hashem the way they should have been. And Hashem said to Yeshaya, this is in Perek Vov, Pasuk Tes, Hashem said, Vayomer Leich Vamartel Amazeh, go and tell this people, Shimu Shamoav Al Tavinu, surely you hear, but you don't comprehend. There are Nevi'im who are spreading the word of Hashem, they're teaching Torah, but people don't understand. Uru'u rov al teido, and surely you see, but you don't seem to know. Hashmein lev ha'om hazeh, this people is fattening its heart. Va'oznov hachbei, and hardening its ears. Ve'enov hosha, and sealing its eyes. Penyira be'enov, because they don't want to see anything, they don't want to see with their eyes. Va'oznov yishma, they don't want to hear with their ears. Sometimes a person's afraid he's going to go to a drasha, and he's afraid he's going to go, and it's the one who's speaking has many proofs to his point, and he's very conclusive and very persuasive, and he knows if he goes to that shir, it's going to change his life. So he's afraid to go to the shir. He's going to be compelled with the truth, and he's not going to know how to live his life the way he was before the shir. And the Navi almost seems to say that's the way people felt. They just wanted to block it out. They didn't want to see and to hear and to understand because they're afraid. Penyira be'enov, lest they see with their eyes or they hear with their ears. Vashav v'rofalo, and then they'll repent and be healed. And they don't want that. They want to continue living the way they're living. And at that point, Yeshaya said to Hashem, Admosai Hashem. Till how long is this going to continue that people are not going to be interested in improving and doing tshuva? And Hashem said, Ad Asherim Shou Ori Mien Yoshev, till the cities become desolate without any inhabitants. Uvoti Mien Odom, the houses won't have a person in it. V'adoma Tishoa Shemom, and the land will be desolate. This is in Yeshaya, the end of Perek Vov. The time has now come. Sancheiriv came and the land is desolate. And the 10 tribes were exiled. And Yehuda was destroyed except for Yerushalayim. And now the Novi is going to say comes the turning point. They say with Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, in his later years he moved to Paris. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was one of the tremendous, tremendous gedolim. We all know him as the father of the Musar movement. But people think of Musar, you know, the person improves himself and he's very frum and very righteous, but they don't realize that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, besides being such a ethical and moral and such a perfection of character individual, but he was one of the great gedolim. And as intellectually, people could he knew. There's a story, you know, when a rav would come to town, very often they would post the list of mari makomos. They would say they're going to give a drasha on a certain topic. And they would list, you look out up a Gemara here and a Rambam there, and he would tie together different Gemaras, and everyone would look it over beforehand. And then the Rav would have to give a drasha that tied everything together, that we see the significance of each one of these places that the people were supposed to look at and study before. And Rav Yisrael Salanter once came to a place, and he used to give a regular Gemara, a halacha shir, a pilpul shir, besides his Musar discourses. And they posted a whole list of Mar Makomos. He wrote what people should look at. A long list of Mar Makomos. Anyway, so at that point there was a lot of controversy, this idea of making a separate learning of Musar. And somebody went, and he felt that he didn't want Rabbi Yisrael Salanter to be influential with the people. This is a new idea that everyone has to spend a separate part of the day besides learning your regular learning. There has to be a separate time for Musar. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter used to discuss how you should learn Musar. This idea was too novel. Somebody took that list of Mar Makomos. He didn't want the people to be impressed with Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. He took off that list of Mar Makomos and he put up a totally different one. So everybody expected the shiur to be on something else. And the list of Mar Makomos was from disparate areas that had no connection. But he was just doing it as a troublemaker to show up, you know, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. He'd come there right before the shiur and somebody would take the Mar Makomos off the wall and give it to him. This is what everybody prepared. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter would realize that there was a trick. That's not what the shiur was on. And he'd have to say, you know, oh, there was a mistake. He's whatever, it's not on this. Anyways, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter thought for a moment. He saw the list of Mar Makomos. He paused and he thought for a moment or two. And then he gave a brilliant shiur that tied everything together. His Talmud said later on, you wonder why my Rebbe waited a minute or two. Everyone would assume, because for an average guy, it probably can never think of a connection between those sources that were posted erroneously, wrongfully on the wall. And you probably figure it takes a while to think of something. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was so brilliant, he thought of it 1, 2, 3. But he had to wait a minute or two to think of the connection. He said, my Rebbe Yishno didn't even have to wait that minute or two. He could have done it instantaneously. But he was debating whether that would be gaiva, because people knew, the people behind us know that he did that. Would that be gaiva? Maybe he shouldn't do it. Or should he do it anyways? And he felt that it was very important people should be impressed with him in order that they would accept his teachings of Musar. So he felt he had to go through with it. He paused a minute or two. He contemplated. And he gave the shiur. But right now, the Navi, the Klal Yisrael, is going to turn and they're going to accept the Musa. They're going to repent. They're going to... Oh, so Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, as I was saying, in the end of his life, he moved to Paris. He left the great yeshivas and the great Mokum Torah of Eastern Europe, and he went to Paris. And people used to wonder why he did that. And they say over, he gave a moshul. He said, in Europe at that time, people were going downhill. In their Avodas Hashem, there was just pressures from society in the 1800s, and he felt the people were slipping, and it's hard to stop them. He said, horses running down a hill, you can't stop the horses. They're running down the hill, there's no way to stop them. When they reach the bottom, then already, and they've hit the bottom, now you can bring them back up. He said, in Paris was at a lower level, spiritually, than the other areas of Europe. He said the people over there have already hit the bottom. Now they're receptive. They've seen the falsehood of the Enlightenment and the Haskalah and they've seen the falsehood of the other movements. They'll be more receptive to doing tshuva. The Navi says the same idea here. While the people seem to be having it good, they're not interested in improving their spiritual ways. But at this point, Velosi Shena in Pasuk Gimel, Velosi Shena Ene Roin, no longer will they be covered over the eyes of those who see. Their eyes won't be closed. Ve'ozne Shomim Tikshavna, and now the ears of those who hear, those hearing people, Tikshavna, they'll pay heed and they'll listen. Ulevav nimhorim yovin lodoas. The heart of the nimhorim, those that are hasty, and they don't think and they don't take the time to contemplate. They're just rushing in their heart. They think of one thing and immediately another thing without really contemplating and pausing to think about what they should be doing. The levav of the nimhorim, these impetuous people, their heart, yovin lodoas. Now their heart will start to understand, to know. Their eyes will no longer be closed. Their ears will start to hear. They'll be receptive. And their heart will understand. Ulevav nimhorim yovin. And it'll understand. Lodas, in order to know. They'll use their knowledge in order to know Torah, to know. Ulashon Ilgim, and the tongue of the Ilgim. Ilgim can mean stammerers. Rashi says, Kol mi shein yodeh lechaven diburo. If a person can't be mechaven his words, he can't speak clearly, lios tzach, if he can't speak smoothly, that's called an eleg. Ulashon ilgim, the tongue of those that stutter, that stammer, that can't speak clearly, tamayer ledaber tzachos. Will now hurry and will speak swiftly and smoothly, and they'll be able to speak well. Now, we're not talking about a physical impediment, because we're talking here spiritually, how the people's eyes, they weren't all blind at that time. It means spiritually, their eyes will be open, like you have with Adam and Chava. Their eyes were open to understand, to see knowledge. One of the Meforshim says, when it comes to Inyonim of Avodas Hashem also, the Lechevitcher, one of the Chassidish Gedolim, said, in Halo we say, Hemanti ki adaber. And he explained the Pasuk to mean, Hemanti, I believe, ki adaber, when I speak about it. That certain things we all know, but if it's not discussed and it's not spoken about, the belief is weak, because it's just not on our consciousness, and we just know it, but we don't feel it. If somebody speaks about something, the more you speak about it, it feels like it's part of you and it's significant to you. Hemanti ki adaber, I believe in Hashem ki adaber when I speak about it. The more I speak about emuna and bitachon in Hashem, that strengthens the emuna and bitachon that I feel. I believe they say in the name of Rav Chaim Brisker also a similar idea. He used to say that when a shochet has to check his knife, the chalef, before he does shechit, he has to check it, that it's perfectly smooth, there's no nick at all in the blade. He says, the truth is, when you have a svara, if you have an idea, how do you check that svara and make sure there's no nick? You want to make sure it's perfectly smooth and it's correct, exact, perfect. So if you had a knife, you'd check it with your fingernail. But how do you check your reasoning? You have a svara, you have an idea. How do you check that reasoning? And he used to say, if you can speak out the svara and you can explain it. Sometimes you have an idea and you say it to somebody else, and it just, the other person doesn't understand it. He asks you, what do you mean? And you discuss and you try to clarify it. And by elaborating and elucidating, the reasoning becomes more and more precise. Lashon Ilgim, when the person was speaking in Torah, when he was speaking about Avodas Hashem, and at the same time his heart and his desires and his thoughts were not involved in serving Hashem. He was involved in all the pleasures of the world. So he said the words, but it was Lashon Ilgim. It was the words that didn't come out smoothly. It wasn't part of his essence. When Yeshayah is saying there's going to be this king that's going to care so much for the people and direct them to Avodas Hashem, at that point, and it's at the point where there's been a destruction from Sanhedrin of the rest of the country, the people are going to realize the only thing that counts is serving Hashem. And all of a sudden, Lashon Ilgim, that tongue that stuttered and couldn't speak smoothly, all of a sudden, to maher ledaber tzachos, he'll hurry and he'll speak smoothly. Lo yikore od lenovol nodiv. They'll no longer call the one who's novel. Novel is a word that's difficult to translate. A vile, a base, a low person. Mitsuda says, an odom pochus Venivze, a person who's pochus, that's less than a person. He's a person that's a lower type of person, who doesn't live the way a person should live. That's a novel. Venivze, and somebody who's despised, that's the novel. Lo yikario the novel nodiv. When there's a king, a leader, that's a tremendous tzaddik, they'll no longer call a novel with the title of a nodiv. A nodiv, the Mitzudas again says, ish yosher, a nodiv is a man who's straight, ubal maton, and a generous, a person who gives presents, a person who's a giver. They won't call this novel a vile person, they won't call him generous. Ulechilai lo ye omer shoa, and it won't be said that a miser, a kilai, they won't say he's shoa, he's magnanimous, he's a generous person. The Mitzudas, the Malbim explains, it will become a little clearer as we see in the next pasuk what this novel is. Ki novel nevolo yedaber. The novel is he's a evil person, not just from what we see the way he acts, but inside his heart he's a bad person. Now this novel is worse than Kilai that we mentioned. And the extreme opposite is a nodiv. A nodiv is one of the best. Nedive Amim Nesofu, the Gemara says, describes Avram Avinu as the one who was menadev. He like donated, he gave himself over to Hashem. Nedive Amim is somebody who's the giver. He's the opposite of a novel. Novel's like the worst, and nodiv's like the best. But ki novel nevola yedaber, the one who's a novel, who's a low person, we see what type of person he is, because nevola yedaber, he speaks his words of nevola, which is where you have the expression nivol peh, but it means he uses his mouth to saying profane words. But this novel nevola yedaber, here we're understanding it that he speaks words against people, velibo yase oven, and in his heart he also speaks, and he gathers, yase oven, he gathers wrongdoing, thoughts of wrongdoing. Lasos chonef. And this affects three components that make up the shleimus ha'adam, the complete person. His bein odom lamokom, his bein odom lechavero, and his emuna, his emunos. So the Malbim explains, lasos chonef. His purpose is to do chonef. Chonef is flattery, meaning flattery is when you say something but you don't really mean it. Your intention, your motive is something different. And when this novel, even if he does a mitzvah, he's not doing it to serve Hashem. Everything is a chonef. He's doing it for some other agenda and for some other benefit. Uledaber al Hashem toa. And he speaks about Hashem toa. Words that just aren't. Toa means like straight, to go off the path. Words that aren't. They're not the way they should be. He's speaking against Hashem and his beliefs. Lahorik nefesh roev, and he empties out the soul of the one who's hungry. Bein odom lechavero, he steals the poor person. Umashke tzomer yachsir, and the drink of the one who's thirsty, yachsir, he takes away and he diminishes. So this novel is Bein Olam Lamokom, Bein Olam Lachavero, in his emuna, he's deficient in everything, it's in his heart, it's in his talk, we're aware of it, that's that novel. And lo yikori od le novel nodiv, they'll no longer call a novel with the word nodiv. People will have clear exactly what is good, what is correct, what is praiseworthy, and they won't praise the evil. Even though before this, very often, people feel the need to praise and to flatter those that are in a position of authority, and even if they're wrong, they're praised and they're honored. But if the king is a tremendous tzaddik, so there's no reason to praise the evil. The king is the tzaddik, and everybody realizes what's good is what's important, and that's what a person should honor and care about. I may have mentioned this Ramban in a previous year. But one of the most fascinating things about the Torah, what I find, is the words. The words are very often connected. There aren't that many words in Tanakh. And among the few words that there are, they're very often connected. That one word has a connection with another word. The Ramban in Hazinu says as follows, and he brings our pasuk here in Yeshaya. Klal Yisrael is called the Am Novel V'lo Chacham. Klal Yisrael didn't realize to serve Hashem. They're the Am Novel V'lo Chacham. On that pasuk, it's in Hazinu Perek Lamed Beis, pasuk Vav. The Ramban says, "Well, if he daiti, in my opinion, it's in the middle of the Ramban, ha'ose tovas chinom yikra nodiv." A nodiv, what is what we call in English generous, but what is the definition of a nodiv? A nodiv is a person who does favors for nothing. It's not owed, he just goes out of his way and he does a favor. It's not deserved, it's not like there's any reason why he should do it, except that he just wants to be a good person. That's a nodiv. Ki hu umeshalim ro'o l'misha heitiv imo. And if somebody pays back evil to somebody who did him a favor, Reuven helped Shimon. And then if Shimon turns against Reuven, he did him a favor and this is the way you pay me back, yikra novel. Then he's called a novel. V'hu sha'amar, and that's what our pasuk says. Lo yikore od l'novel nodiv. Our pasuk here in Yeshaya, they won't call a novel with the title of a nodiv. Ki hu hefcho. That is the exact opposite. A nodiv is a guy who does good for no reason. In other words, it's not deserved, he does it for no reason. And a novel is a guy who does evil for no reason. Just he's doing that for no reason. He's hurting the person. Ulakach Umru, al novel HaKarmeli, there was a incident in Shmuel that David sent, there was a novel HaKarmeli, had shepherds that stayed with David, and David took care of them. And then later on, when David needed food and supplies, he sent a message to Novel, "You're shearing your sheep, you have a lot of wool, it's a yumta for you, can you help send supplies? After all, I took care of your lads, I took care of your shepherds, and we need help now, we're starving, could you send us supplies?" And his wife, And Novel rebuffed them and he refused and he sent them back with words of scorn. "Why should I help out David?" Novel's wife is Avigail. And Avigail went herself to David and she brought along supplies and she appeased David and she said, "Don't take it to heart because his name is Novel. Kishmo Kainhu. Novel Shmo Nevola Imo. His name is Novel and that's the way he is. Novel is his way of life." Meaning, you do him a favor and you take care of his lads and his shepherds and you help him out, and then later on, when you need his help, he'll send you back words of scorn and he'll make fun of you and he'll turn against you. That's the definition of a novel. And over here, once the king is a tzaddik, lo yikori od l'novel nodiv, they won't call a novel anymore with the title of a nodiv. Ulechilai. One of the Mephoshim seems to say it's like a notrika on like two words. The Ramban says afterwards, the idea why a novel is called a novel. I want to mention that in terms of the language in Lashon HaKodesh. The letter Beis can be interchanged. In Psukim, it's interchanged with the letter Fei. For example, Yashev Rucho Yizlumoyim. Hashem Yashev Rucha means to make the wind blow. Yashev with a base. We say in Noshafta Beruchacha, Noshafta with a fey also means to blow. Noshafta Beruchacha, Kisamo Yom. So Yashev with a base is like Noshev. It's the same sound of vuf. It's almost sounds the same. So they almost sound the same and they're interchangeable. Yashev and Noshafta. The word nevola can be understood as if it was the same meaning as if there'd be a pei. You know the name for an animal that collapses and dies without a shechita? It's called nevela. It's called a nevela because it's nefela. It fell. It died. There was no shechita. It died without a shechita. Just to die and a regular death. That's called a nevela because the head wasn't like a nefela. The Ramban says the same idea here. Novel is like nafal. The person's fallen from his whole status of a person. There's nishkein mensch. You'd say he's not a person. A guy who's a novel, who you do him a favor and he repays you like that. That's a novel. Anyways, lo yikori od le novel nodiv. They won't call the novel with the title of a nodiv. Ula kilai, and the person who is. Mefarshim say also the word kilai could be like the word kili. If you take it's almost like two words kili. To me, it's mine. He's a miser, a person who doesn't want to share and give from him, from what he has. He's not as bad as a novel. This kilai is not as bad. But even if he's not as bad, he's only a kilai. But lo yomer shoa, they won't call him shoa. Shoa can mean from the turn to turn. Val kain val mincha solo shoa. Shoa val can mean to turn. When things are tough, who do you turn to? Who do you look to help you? That's the shoa, the one who's you turn to for assistance. He's not as good as a nodiv, but he's also an upstanding, a good man. Ula kilai, the person, even if he's not as bad as a novel, he's a kilai. But they won't call him a shoa. There'll be a clear recognition of what's good is good, and what's very good is very good, and what's bad is bad. Everyone will realize there won't be any of the falsehood that is engendered by having a leader who's a Rasha. Ki novel nevola yidaber. And you'll wonder, what's the big deal if people use a little chanifus and they call the bad person, they call him good. But what's so bad about that? And then Novi continues, Ki novel nevola yidaber, because the novel speaks words of nevola, and therefore it influences and affects other people. And it's yidaber, meaning on a constant basis, not just he did it once. If he's a novel, that's the way he is. He's that type of person. He's a novola yidaber. Velibo yase oven. And his heart gathers together thoughts of oven, of iniquity. Machshava tova HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzarif lemaisa. When a person's thinking, it's hoped that the way we should all be is a person should dream and he should have plans to do mitzvahs. And even if he's not able to carry them all out, but his heart is thinking how to do good. He has a lot of good ideas and he might not get to all of them, but he'll get schar for those whatever he could do. And he'll get schar for those thoughts of doing a mitzvah. This novel's the other way around. He does things wrong and he speaks words of nevola, and even when what he can't express and what he can't do, but what's he thinking? V'libo yase oven. In his heart, he's gathering these thoughts of oven. Lasos chonef. And his purpose, the whole thing he's doing is chanifus. The Malbim says, the mitzvahs that he does, heim b'chanufa lehisgos b'hem. It's all just a show to take pride and to boast and to be haughty. That's the whole purpose. Or for any other toelis, but not for Hashem. Laso schonef. Other mafortion say laso schonef. Either he wants to make chonef, people to be machnef him. There's certain people like to have a fan club. And they like to have people supporting them, whether they do good or they do wrong. They should always have the people, laso schonef, who will praise whatever they do. And that's what this novel is. He wants to build up a support for all of his evil. L'daber el Hashem Toa. And he speaks falsehood about Hashem. What he says about Hashem just is not correct. And he's spreading these beliefs, the wrong ideas about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lahorik nefesh roiv, and beinodom lachavero, he empties out the soul of the hungry person. Not just that he's stealing because he wants to gain. If a person wants to steal for his own benefit, Yerav, a rich person, not a poor person. But this person's a noble, and he's interested in oppressing people and causing suffering. That's what gives him enjoyment. So he finds a Nefesh Roiv, a hungry person, and that's the guy whose sandwich he steals. Laharik Nefesh Roiv, he empties the soul of the hungry, Umashke Tzame Yachsir, and he diminishes the drink of the thirsty. The Targum says that this is talking about in Torah and Avodas Hashem, that the person who's a novel is out to put a whole damper on the learning and on the interest in Torah. Those that have a desire, they're a nefesh roiv, they're hungry for Torah, those tzaddikim, he empties them out, he causes them that they can't learn. Upiskomi oraisa, the last words of the Targum. Upiskomi oraisa, the words of Torah, deinun kamaya litzachoya, that are like water for the parched soul. Midaman levatola, he wants to nullify, he wants to cancel. This was actually the father of Chizkiyo, the tremendous Rosha Ochaz. It says he locked the base medrash. He didn't allow anybody to learn. Umashke tzome yachsir. But that's the novel. And if you don't identify him as such, and you believe that he could be praised, and we'll call him a nodiv, it warps the whole value system. V'chelai Caleb Roim. And as far as the miser goes, Caleb Roim, his implements are evil. Whatever he works with is evil. Huzimos yot. He advises Zimos schemes. But It's Zimos, he has these thoughts of evil, and not only does he think about it, not only does he do it, but he's Yotz, he advises others. Lechabel Aniyim, we read the word, the Kree is Lechabel Aniyim, to destroy the poor. It's written like Anovim, the humble, but the poor, the humble. Lechabel Aniyim ve'imrei Sheker, with his words of falsehood, he destroys the Aniyim. Uvedaber Evyon Mishpot, and when the Evyon, and when the destitute speaks Mishpot, he speaks justly. He has a case, and he's presenting his argument, and he's speaking Mishpot, he's saying the right words. But this guy who's the Kalai, who's the miser, who just doesn't want anyone else to have, and he begrudges anybody else to have something good or some success in the world. So when the Evyon speaks his words of Mishpat, his words of justice, this Kalai, this miser, is out to hurt him. The Nodiv, a true Nodiv, this generous person, the Nodiv, the good person who does good for no reason other than he wants to help you. The Nodiv, Nedivos Yot. He's involved in Nedivos, he's involved in generosity. And not only does he do it, but Yotz, he advises others. That's the way of life, he instructs others. V'hu al nedivos yokum. And that's what gives him a stand. That's what gives him a presence in this world. V'hu al nedivos yokum. That's the way he is, and that's what's meaningful, and that's what gives him success in this world. The fact that he's a nodiv and he's generous. And in the times when we have a good king, a king like Chizkiyo, the value system will be correct. The Novi continues, Pasuk Tes. Noshim Shananos. Complacent women. Kom Noshmana Koli. Rise up and hear my voice. Bonos Bodchos. And confident daughters. Hazeno Imrosi. Hear my speech. To be shanon, to be complacent, is very often if the person doesn't have any battles, there's no struggles, things are quiet. He is complacent because he doesn't have any turmoil in his life. The Malbim explains the word bochos, to be confident, is very often a person does have a struggle, but he's confident. He's got an army, he has strength, he has power. He might not even be shanon. He might not be complacent. He might have a struggle, but he's confident with his strength. The people in Sion were not bodchim in their strength. the people in Yerushalayim at this point, if this is being addressed before Chizkiyo in the times of Ochaz, but they weren't confident in their strength. But at this point they were complacent, because Sancheiriv was still attacking the Aseres HaShvatim, the 10 tribes. The 10 tribes are under pressure. But in Yehuda, at this moment, they were still complacent. On the other hand, in the people in the Aseres HaShvatim, they weren't complacent. Sancheiriv was here. But they were confident that they would be able to be successful, they'd be able to win, they had their alliances, and they would be able to overcome Sancheiriv. So the Novi says, Noshim Shananos, the women who are complacent. Yehuda is like the mother, because Malchus Yehuda began with David and Shlomo. The Aseres HaShvatim were later on, there was a split. By after Shlomo HaMelech, there was a split, and there was a new northern kingdom of 10 tribes. That's like the daughter. That came later. And it came from the Malchus, the original Malchus of David and Shlomo split off. Noshim Shananos, complacent women, meaning like the mother, the Malchus Yehuda, who's complacent and right now is not worried. Bakom Noshmana Koli, arise up and hear my voice. Bonos, the daughters, the new kingdom, the 10 tribes, who are not complacent, Sancheiriv's here now, but they're bodchos, they're confident. Hazeno Imrosi, this is the way the Malbim explains how every term fits in. Hazeno Imrosi, hear my words. Yomim al Shana, right after the next year. Yomim al Shana, days after the year, or perhaps a year after a year. Tirgazna bodchos. The time will come when Tirgazna Bodchos, the daughters, the 10 tribes, will all of a sudden feel Tirgazna, they'll shudder, they'll tremble. Kikola Votzir, because the harvest of the grapes is finished. Osef Beliyovo, and the harvest doesn't come in. The enemy came, and all the grapes are picked, but the enemy took it, and their fields have been destroyed. Chirdu Shananos, tremble, you complacent women, meaning Yehuda, who right now is still complacent, Sancheiriv wasn't here yet, but Chirdu Shananos, they're going to tremble. Regoza Bodchos, and shudder those, the confident ones, the Aseres HaShvatim, Pashota V'Ora, because they're going to be totally, Pashota means to be disrobed, V'ora, and to be bare, as if their clothing was removed, as if everything they had is taken away. V'chagor al cholatzoyim, and they just take a little belt or something to wrap around their waist to cover themselves just a little bit with that little clothes. But there's going to be that time of punishment when Sancheiriv is going to come. The Gemara in Baruchas, it's interesting. I wasn't sure why, in fact, the Marsha didn't discuss it, why the Gemara understands this pasuk in the following way. But the Gemara says as follows. It's a famous Gemara, but we not always think of it as being relevant and learned from this pasuk. But the Gemara says as follows, in Brachas Daf Yud Zayin, G'dola havtocha sheivtichan HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'noshim, yosemin ho anoshim. The promise that Hashem gave to the women is greater than the men. We do Torah, we do mitzvahs. We'll have the Gemara before that talked about Olam Haba. But you should know, even though the women don't have as many mitzvahs that they're obligated to do like the men, but you should know their promise is greater. Shenemar, and the Gemara brings this pasuk, Noshim Shananos, the women are complacent. Kom Noshmana Koli, get up and hear my voice. Bonos Bodchos, daughters that are confident. Hazeinim Rossi, hear my words. Amali Rav L'Rav Chia. Rav said to Rav Chia, Noshim B'mai Zachyon. You said that the women are so have a greater promise than the men because the Pasuk calls them complacent, confident. The women seem to be secure. They're not worried. So you see, the Pasuk seems to say that women are secure. How do the women have this sechus? Noshim B'mai Zachyon. Bakruye Banayu Levei Knishta. By bringing their children to learn the Mikra, to learn the Chumash, the Tanakh, and the Beis HaKnesses. It used to be the young children came to the Beis HaKnesses, and that's where they used to learn Tanakh. Uvasnuye gavrayu bei rabbanon, and by seeing to it that their men went to the Beis Medrash. And the Beis Medrash is where they learned Mishnah and Gemara. V'natrin legavrayu ad'osim bei rabbanon. Then they wait for their husbands to come home. Rashi says they give the husbands rishus to travel to another city even to learn, and they wait for their husband to come home from the Bei Rabbanah, from the Beis Medrash. And I just found it interesting, like out of all the psukim in Tanakh, it's a famous, well-known Gemara, but like, it's interesting the way Chazal saw, perhaps because if you just meant to say that the country is confident, so why it seems that there's a stress on the women? So even though the pasuk, the simple meaning is the complacent women in Yehuda and the Banos Bodchos and the 10 tribes and all the women listen that there's going to be a punishment coming, but why does it describe them as women? Why does it describe them as daughters? What about the men? It should refer to everyone. All the people who are Shannon. The answer is because the men don't have that complacency. And there's a place where the women have have the right to be shanon and to be boteach. Some mafarshim learn it's a double lashon, because noshim shananos, they're complacent, they're tranquil in this world. They know that they're olam hazeh, they're doing the right thing in this world. And bonos botchos is another expression that they're confident that in Olam Haba the thing will be well for them. The fact that they help their children and their husbands to learn Torah, and therefore Gedola Havtacha that the women have more than the men.